Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcasts at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Sputnik Radio, Radio Havana Cuba, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, and NHK Japan. We will begin with Russia's Sputnik Radio. On his program called Going Underground, Afshin Ratansi spoke with Vandana Shiva. She criticized world leaders for working so closely with unelected billionaire businessmen on dealing with the pandemic, vaccines, and corporate bailouts. She argues that the current democracy is a facade for a dictatorship of big money, and that the IMF and World Bank pushed through patents on seeds, which is destroying agriculture. She defends her presence in the anti-environmentalist film funded by Michael Moore, Planet of the Humans. Sputnik Radio.
World-renowned environmentalist and ecologist, Dr. Vandana Shiva.
The book Oneness versus 1% grew out of the fact that I witnessed at the Paris Summit on Climate Change that Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg were strutting around on the street with heads of state. And I said, when did billionaires who are unelected start telling elected leaders what they should be doing? So as we watch not just the bailouts going to the people who brought us the crisis, the oil industry and the agrochemical industry and Big Pharma are one. They're not different. The investment funds like BlackRock and Vanguard. BlackRock, through Corona, became controller of assets of $23 trillion. Amazon pretends I just create a platform. No, it destroys livelihoods. Every second week they try to create new monopolies. Just in the last month, $24 billion additional wealth for Jeff Bezos, while as the International Labour Organization is warning us, we have a pandemic of unemployment. And as the World Food Program is informing us, we have a hunger pandemic. So the billionaires actually would like to trash humanity, trash the planet, and they think without the base, without that which supports their economy, that they will continue to make trillions. It's that illusion that I talk about in my book, Oneness versus the 1%. They keep talking science, but overnight they're drugs. One day are AIDS drugs, next day they're corona drugs. One day they're Ebola vaccines, next day they're corona vaccines. The story of the corona itself changes by the day. The treatment stories change by the day. And I think we need a very large independent community of epidemiologists, medical people, scientists to take stock of the many unscientific spins that have been given. It's always associated with intellectual property rights. And they push drugs that are not needed. A democracy which has been hijacked by big money and the billionaires is no more a democracy. It is just a facade for a dictatorship. And today we have a dictatorship of big money, which is able to totally trash people's will, people's freedom. That is what we have to wake up to. We do need democracy and diversities of knowledge. Those who will make money out of investments in a particular treatment of any kind, they should not be decision makers. They should not be allowed to come and talk to presidents and prime ministers because it is a conflict of interest.
Two institutions that often talk to prime ministers and presidents are the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Do you believe that at least this pandemic means they will be less able to tell leaders of the global south to privatize their healthcare systems, what healthcare systems they have after the global pandemic?
They'll hide behind insurance. They'll hide behind bailouts. You know, World Bank and IMF are already getting ready, and there's not a single time where World Bank and IMF have given money without a structural adjustment package behind it. In 1991, it was a $90 billion crisis we had when World Bank pushed the privatization of seed. And that is what destroyed our agriculture. That is what created refugees. Most of Indians were farmers. That refugee status is today the migrant labor. Half of India works as precarious labor. Overnight, they have no work. They are today's hungry people. So, you know, the greed of the money machine, of which the IMF, the World Bank, the WTO rules, the billionaires who've really gained out of this, they're now thinking of how can we mine the minds of people? That's what Facebook does when it sells data to Cambridge Analytica. How can we mine the data, the bodily activity of human beings, and then sell back, linked to surveillance? That is what people who have a passion for freedom and a passion for life should be looking at.
I've got to mention, actually, a documentary produced by Michael Moore, directed by Jeff Gibbs, that was released for free on the internet on Earth Day. You're in it. You're in the documentary. Come under a lot of criticism. It seemed to cast doubt on wind power, solar power, and the way these technologies are created and whether they actually do help the environment at all.
I have learned to do full cost accounting, to not go for the appearances, but to go behind. So we were always told industrial food is cheap and is feeding the world. So I started to do the full cost accounting and found that there's trillions and trillions of dollars of shadow in environmental destruction, biodiversity destruction, destruction of farmers, and destruction of our health. When we add all that together, we will realize that we would not afford industrial food pushed by the old poison cartel and big oil. If you take biofuel, you're made to look like it's very efficient. In fact, in the European Union, we had big debates in the parliament where they were giving big subsidies for biofuel, diverting food to fuel. But it takes more fossil fuel to produce biofuel than it substitutes. The two principles that came out of the Earth Summit, and I had the privilege to be there, the precautionary principle and the polluter should pay. We measure nutrition per acre. We measure health per acre. And our work with real farmers and true cost accounting is showing that we could feed two times India's population. There's an amazing Earth out there that is definitely more powerful than a Bill Gates and a Jeff Bezos. They're really little creatures that don't understand their insignificance in the larger story.
We invite them both on. Dr. Vandana Shiva, thank you.
That excerpt of an interview was by Afshin Ratansi on Sputnik Radio, the current name for the Voice of Russia, available online at rt.com. You can see the entire 20-minute interview up at rt.com or YouTube. Next, Radio Havana, Cuba. U.S.-backed soldiers and mercenaries have been caught twice trying to enter Venezuela, allegedly with plans to assassinate President Maduro. 27 members of the U.S. Congress have asked the U.S. government to allow the shipment of humanitarian goods to Cuba during the COVID pandemic. Cuba wants to know the truth behind an assault rifle attack on its embassy in Washington, D.C. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Venezuela's government has frustrated now twice on Sunday and Monday mercenaries from illegally trying to enter the country in order to carry out attacks. Among those arrested are former soldiers, mercenaries, and U.S. mercenaries. The latest attempt to oust the constitutionally elected government of President Nicolas Maduro, dubbed Operation Gideon, was led by a former U.S. Army Special Forces operative named Jordan Grodeau. Grodeau served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He now runs a Florida-based security company called Silvercorp USA. The company's website gloats about having operations in more than 50 countries with an advisory team made up of former diplomats, experienced military strategists, and heads of multinational corporations. Grodeau's own history with Venezuela goes back to February of last year in 2019, when he worked as a security guard at the concert in support of Juan Guaido, organized by British billionaire Richard Branson on the Venezuelan-Colombian border. Venezuela's communications minister, Jorge Rodriguez, on Tuesday, confirmed that Juan Guaido hired mercenaries for a terrorist incursion into his country, which is evidenced in the contract that the opposition lawmaker signed with the U.S.-based private security company, Silvercorp. On dawn on Sunday, a U.S.-backed paramilitary group, which attempted to enter Venezuelan territory from Colombia, was neutralized by the Bolivarian National Armed Forces. Some elements were perfectly clear. Others will be clarified even more as the investigations on the dismantled incursion, which had the participation of deserters, drug traffickers, former Green Berets from the United States, is now continuing. Rodriguez said that the testimonial evidence about the absolute and real commitment of Juan Guaido and his close partners with aggressive actions is undisputed. Rodriguez then presented the testimony of a U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA agent, Jose Alberto Socorro Hernandez, who detailed the connections of the governments of the United States and Colombia with the assassination attempt on Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro. A group of 27 members of the U.S. Congress have asked their government to confirm that it is possible to ship humanitarian goods to Cuba from other parts of the world, despite U.S. policy toward the island. In a letter sent to the Secretaries of State, Mike Pompeo, and the Treasury, the legislatures called on them to make such clarification in the midst of the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus pandemic that is affecting most of the countries of the world, including Cuba. The letter says, "We write to urge them to immediately confirm that companies and humanitarian workers around the world are not prevented by law, regulation, or U.S. policy from providing medical equipment, food, and other humanitarian items and public health information to Cuba." The letter, initiated by Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy and Congressman James McGovern, pointed out that there have been reports that foreign companies have been dissuaded from providing humanitarian items to Cuba, even to respond to the COVID-19 due to regulatory requirements and fear of prosecution or sanctions under U.S. law. The director of the U.S. Office of the Cuban Foreign Ministry, Carlos Fernandez de Cosillo, said on Sunday that the complicity of the United States with terrorism leaves Washington unable to make any statement on the attack against the island's embassy. In the U.S. capital of the United States, there was an armed aggression against a diplomatic headquarters, and the State Department is unable to find a way to say anything. Fernandez de Cosillo wrote on his Twitter account about Thursday's attack with an assault rifle against the Cuban mission. The history of the U.S. government's encouragement of violence against Cuba, as well as its complicity with terrorist groups, is well known. In an opinion piece Sunday morning in the morning edition of the newspaper Juventud Rebelde, said that the lack of officialdom by the White House regarding an event of such gravity doesn't bode well for what may happen next. The silence from the U.S. government could throw more gas on the fire of impunity and new aggressions after the armed attack carried out against the embassy in Washington, despite the demand by Cuba's foreign ministry that the terrorist action be fully investigated. The newspaper article in Juventud Rebelde also recalled several of the more than 20 attacks on U.S. soil against diplomats from the Caribbean nation or its facilities in Washington, New York, and Miami, including the September 1980 assassination of United States accredited diplomat Felix Garcia.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's web stream worked well this week at their website, radiohc.cu, and their podcast links are fixed and working great. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. On to Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. Several short news reports related to the COVID pandemic, including airline bailouts, Spain extends its state of pandemic alert, and Britain has surged to the lead in European deaths from the coronavirus. The European Union had a $7.4 billion pledge day for international money to develop a vaccine, and the United States and Russia did not attend. Trump said he expects the U.S. to have a vaccine by the end of the year. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
German airline Lufthansa is holding a general meeting to discuss details of a government bailout. CEO Carsten Spohr is expected to confirm that the future of Lufthansa is at stake. A possible rescue package is said to amount to 10 billion euros, with the German state taking a 25% stake in the firm. And a vice president at Amazon has resigned after the company fired whistleblowers who had raised concerns about COVID-19 in its warehouses. Tim Bray said the dismissals were, quote, evidence of a vein of toxicity running through the company culture. In April, hundreds of Amazon employees in the U.S. went on strike over conditions.
Spain has extended the country's coronavirus state of alert for another 2 weeks. It came after a day of sharp criticism in Parliament from opposition parties. Spain is one of the hardest hit countries here in Europe. Britain's health ministry has reported that the number of deaths linked to the coronavirus has now passed the 30,000 mark. Almost 650 people died in the UK in the last day alone. Britain has the highest number of COVID-19 fatalities in all of Europe. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has blasted China for its handling of the coronavirus outbreak. He repeated allegations that the virus escaped from a lab in the city of Wuhan and accused Beijing of initially covering up the outbreak.
Poland has postponed the presidential election that was scheduled to take place this Sunday. The delay comes after opposition groups argued that the coronavirus lockdown made a fair election impossible. For the fourth straight time, Russia has reported a one-day increase of more than 10,000 cases, bringing the national total to more than 165,000. South Korea has reported only two new cases in 24 hours. Officials said both were detected during screenings at airports. And Thailand has confirmed three new cases and no deaths.
More than 3,000 people have died in Sweden. The government has been criticized for maintaining looser restrictions than the rest of Europe. And Egypt has extended its nighttime curfew until end of the Ramadan fast later this month.
The United States and Britain have begun negotiations on a free trade agreement. They plan to work quickly to counter the hit that the pandemic is having on their economies. Supporters of the UK's departure from the EU have argued that striking a deal will boost the post-Brexit economy.
The European Union has joined the race to develop a vaccine against the coronavirus by securing pledges worth almost 7.5 billion euros. Nations from around the world joined the European Commission's pledge conference on Monday as the worldwide death toll from the virus exceeded 250,000. Commission President Ursula von der Leyen is calling it a victory for global cooperation, but the fundraiser was just as notable for the no-shows.
Let's start the pledging. The EU kicked off its fundraising drive with 1 billion euros. In the hours that followed, pledges were beamed in from across the globe.
The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has pledged $500 million.
Even pop icon Madonna made a last-minute donation of 1 million euros. It wasn't enough to reach the fundraiser's target, but host Ursula von der Leyen insisted it sent the right signal.
Today is a defining moment for the global community. At a time when we are sitting further apart than usual, the world has shown it is standing closer together than ever before.
But not quite all of the world. A Chinese delegate took part but didn't pledge any money. Russia and the United States were both absent from the conference. For her part, the German Chancellor apparently couldn't resist a jab at the US president.
At a time when we don't always see multilateral cooperation as I would like, I think today is a very important signal of hope.
Germany was one of the leading donors, pledging over 500 million euros. The money is earmarked for international health organizations and research networks in a bid to speed up the development of a vaccine. Many scientists say it could be 18 months or more before a vaccine is ready for widespread use. And when it is, more money will be needed to ensure it can be produced in large quantities and distributed for a fair price around the world.
Today's sprint was a great start for our marathon. The marathon is the way ahead now. We need everyone on board.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres described the funds as a down payment. He said that to reach everyone, everywhere, the world must raise five times that amount.
U.S. President Trump says he believes America will have a coronavirus vaccine by the end of the year. German Health Minister Jens Spahn is much less optimistic. He believes a race to develop a vaccine could take years.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could make a donation for production costs of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490. Almost all the funding this freely distributed program receives is from individual listener donations. Only one radio station, WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, supports it. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help keep me going. We will conclude with NHK Japan. Japan has extended its state of emergency to May 31st, with the government asking the public to voluntarily refrain from going out. A report on the U.S. President's plan to get Americans back to work. U.S. Secretary of State Pompeo continues to criticize China, blaming it for the pandemic. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has appeared in public, raising doubts about U.S. media claims that he had had heart surgery. NHK Japan.
Japan's minister in charge of the coronavirus response says the government plans to hear experts' opinions every week to consider whether to lift the state of emergency. Economic Revitalization Minister Nishimura Yasutoshi held separate teleconferences with leaders of Japan's major business organization and the representative of prefectural governors on Tuesday. The talks came one day after the government decided to extend the nationwide state of emergency to May 31st. Nishimura called for cooperation to reduce human-to-human contacts containing the spread of the virus. Unlike many other countries, under its state of emergency, Japan asks that the public voluntarily refrain from going out. Nishimura suggested he'll hear experts' opinions on May 14th and 21st on whether the state of emergency declaration can be lifted or restrictions on social and economic activities can be relaxed for each prefecture. The criteria will include the number of recent infections, situation of the local health system, and the number of virus tests. Officials plan to present concrete target figures to the public beforehand. U.S. President Donald Trump is boasting about his plans to get Americans back to work. Well, many of them can't wait. But Trump is ignoring advice even from within his own government. HK World's Catherine Kobayashi explains.
In pockets here and there, Americans are emerging into delis and diners. Some are even defying state orders to stay home, and the president is encouraging them.
They're going back to work safely, but they're going back to work. We're opening up our country again.
Trump's own administration is projecting a rise in coronavirus infections over the next few weeks. The Centers for Disease Control and others predict daily deaths nationwide will rise from about 1,800 to about 3,000. Authorities in New York State have seen the number of deaths per day drop from well over 700 down to 230. They're positioning themselves for an eventual return in health, in education, in transportation. They have to disinfect city subways and will stop regularly scheduled overnight service for the first time in history.
Decisions we make on reopening are really profound decisions. And the fundamental question, which we're not articulating, is how much is a human life worth?
Cuomo's answer is that a human life is priceless, and he says he's not prepared to make a trade-off. Catherine Kobayashi, NHK World, New York.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo continued his criticism of China, blaming it for the pandemic.
China could have prevented the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. China could have spared the world descent into global economic malaise.
Pompeo said China is still refusing to share information with the U.S., including virus samples he said are needed for global vaccine research. In an op-ed in the Washington Post, China's ambassador to the U.S. said blaming China will not end the pandemic and called for an end to the blame game. And a trade clash between the U.S. and China is shaping up to add further strain to already tense bilateral relations. U.S. President Donald Trump says he will be able to report as early as next week whether China is fulfilling its obligations under the Phase One trade deal the two countries signed in January. Trump told reporters on Wednesday that he was monitoring China's commitments to the deal. The agreement requires the Trump administration to lower the additional tariffs imposed on Chinese imports, while Beijing has to increase its imports of agricultural products and other goods from the U.S. by about $200 billion over 2 years. Trump has pulled no punches over his dissatisfaction that the expected boost of U.S. exports has been delayed due to a decline in Chinese demand during the coronavirus pandemic. China has dismissed what it's calling Trump's groundless claims. Now we turn to North Korea's leader, whose health has been under the spotlight recently. The South spy agency believes Kim Jong-un has not had heart surgery. A South Korean lawmaker says the agency made the comment on Wednesday during an informal briefing to a parliamentary committee. Speculation over Kim's health soared after CNN reported in April he was in grave danger after undergoing surgery. But North Korean media on Saturday said Kim had made his first public appearance in 20 days, joining a ceremony at a fertilizer factory. The agency said Kim had been managing state affairs as usual, even when not appearing in public. It suggested he would have needed 4 to 5 weeks to recover from any heart surgery. The agency also said Kim has appeared in public 17 times so far in 2020, one-third the number from the same period in previous years. It noted that could be due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Those reports are from NHK Radio Japan. They have altered their schedule and format and are now heard from 9:30 to 10 p.m. at 5975-7245 and 11970, or on the web at www.nhk.or.jp. All the times I announced are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast. Get a global perspective. You could use a shortwave radio at home. It's simpler than you might think, except for the interference you will get from electronic devices. If you use the internet, listening globally is even easier and noise-free. See the links at this program's website. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for the show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. This shortwave report, which is now in its 24th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The shortwave report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.